privilege to speak in such a Makom Torah. I had the opportunity of spending here a couple of starim, and you felt the electricity, Torah in the air. Parshas Mishpatim is the last parsha of Shoivavim, the mem corresponding to Mishpatim. So we'll start with the first words of Parshas Mishpatim. Ve'elah Mishpatim. Everybody is familiar with the famous Rashi, Ve'elah. If there's a Vav, it's a continuation of the previous parsha. Elah, it's a separation. So Ve'elah, it connects Parshas Mishpatim to Parshas Yisrael. And Rashi says, just like the Rishonim were given on Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satayra, so to all the halachas, the dinim of Parshas Mishpatim, the laws of Bein Adam LeChaveray, were also given in Parshas Mishpatim, were also given on Har Sinai. And then Rashi concludes, V'lama nismecha Parshas dinim leParshas HaMizbeach. Why is Parshas Mishpatim, the parsha of the halachas, right next to the conclusion of Parshas Yisrael, the parsha of the Mizbeach? Once Rashi told us that they're connected, Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Yisrael, so why is Parshas Hadinim next to Parshas HaMizbeach? Loi malacha, shetosim Sanhedrin eitzel HaMizbeach. That you should place the Sanhedrin next to the Mizbeach. What exactly does that mean? What message is it telling us? And I think there's a very, very strong message that the Torah is teaching us. The essence that a Yid is totally different than a Goy. The whole mindset, the whole essence of a Yid is different. Let's look at the Mizbeach. Mizbeach, the Torah concludes with two yesodis about the Mizbeach, two halachas. One halacha is that when you build this Mizbeach, don't use any steel. Don't use steel in making the Mizbeach, in cutting the stones, preparing it for the Mizbeach. Because a sword is made out of barzel, and a sword is a makatzer, it cuts down life, kills people. And a mizbeach is something that's mairich, it gives a person kapora, and it adds longevity to him, it adds life. And therefore it's a contradiction. A very confusing, mind-boggling concept. Because a piece of iron can be used as a sword to kill somebody, it doesn't fit in with the mizbeach. The next halacha tells us, don't make steps going up the Mizbeach. It has to have a ramp. Because when a person walks up steps, he has to spread his feet, he has to spread his legs. And that's like similar to Gilui Erva. Even though Rashi points out that the Kohen wore Michnasayim under his robe, and so it wasn't Gilui Erva, but it simulated it, it resembled it. And that's a tremendous Ganai, it's a tremendous Bezoyin. It's a bezoyin for Eitzim, for Avonim. And then Rashi makes a Kal V'chaimer. If the Torah is so makbid on the bezoyin of Eitzim, of Avonim, then Alachas Kama V'kama, how much we have to be makbid on the bezoyin of another person. The Torah, the parasha of Mizbeach, enlightens us in delicate inyanim, in the feelings of people, in the feelings of things which are inanimate. Because a Yid has to look at things totally differently. And that's perhaps what Rashi means. That Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach, when we go to deal with halachas, one another, Bein Adam L'Chaveray, we have to be so cognizant of a person's feelings, of a person's busha, that it's a lesson for the dayan. Dayan, you buy the Mizbeach. Look how makbid the Torah was. Because we have a totally different set of rules. A Yid is something delicate. A Yid is something sensitive. And therefore, dealing with that sensitivity, the chashivas of a person, therefore, we find a halacha, a ganif, stealing, a man is stealing. And if he steals a seh, or he steals an ox, there's a difference in halacha. If he was teveach umachar, if he steals a seh, only 4 times. If he steals an ox, he has to pay 5 times. And why? The Gemara tells us, because he had to carry that sheep, and while he's walking with that sheep in the street, and the sheep is making its noises, it's embarrassing. And the Torah says, okay, we're going to reduce it. He's a ganif. No, he's a yid. He's a person. Because a yid is very sensitive, very delicate. Because a yid is by his nature, a yid is something unique. Let's go back a little bit. In last week's parsha, an unbelievable sipurna. The pasuk says, "Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim." You witnessed. You saw what I did to the Mitzrayim. The esa eschem al kanfin asharim, and I will lift you. I lifted you. I raised you. I elevated you on the wings of an eagle. V'avi eschem elai. So Rashi says his pshat: the eagle, he carries his young ones on his back. So, because no other bird can get it. But the Sipurna says a magnificent vart. Derech lo'over ish. I'm going to take you on a path that nobody else walked on. Derech lo'over ish. Out in the midbar, where nobody, no human being has ever walked there. Kimay ha-nesher, ha-moylech es bana beruma avir. Like the eagle that takes him high up in the air. There's no other bird that flies there. This is pristine air. Nobody was ever there. Why? Bezehu lahavdil eschem. And this is to separate you. The Sipurna is teaching us something magnificent. That a yid would not be the same if he traveled on the same ground that a goy went. It's not the same. You can't remain with the same kedusha. It's not shayach v'ovi eschem Eloi to bring you close to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the epitome of kedusha. To bring you to me is not possible if you went b'derech overish. And you know why? Because a yid is something unique. If you have a coarse, a poor person, he eats coarse foods, it doesn't affect him. When you have a person that's sensitive, and you give him a coarse meal, he can't be soivel it. A yid is somebody very, very special. He's very adin. He's very, very sensitive. And you have a beautiful white garment that's totally white, and the slightest speck kills the whole look. You can have a regular garment, you can have a cup of coffee poured on you, and yet you can still get away with it. But on a white garment, you can't. A yid is that white garment. And he's so sensitive, he picks up any dust, any spot, makes a tremendous reishim. V'ese eschem al kanfei nesharim b'derech le'ovarish. A chaver of mine, who was in Mexico at the time, told me a maisa with Rav Don Segel, the mashgiach Rav Don Segel. A younger man came, and he came for his kailu. He came to Mexico, to Mechazek, and the younger man said, please stay in my house. I want the Mashgiach to stay by me. And the Mashgiach said, if you want to stay by me, you know the family has to move out. He stays in the house alone. But you have to buy me a new mattress. I need a new mattress. I won't sleep on a mattress that was used. Fine, it's a small price to pay. He's going to get a brand new mattress. He goes to, I don't know what they call it in Mexico, he goes to Sleepy's and he buys a mattress. He has it delivered and he's all excited, the Mashgiach, and he prepares the house for him. Shabbos morning, this younger man forgot his child's medicine and he had to go to the house, pick it up, and he went into the house and he saw that the blanket and the pillow of the Mashgiach was laying on the floor. It's obvious he didn't sleep in the bed. He slept on the floor. He ran over to the Mashgiach and he says, Mashgiach, what happened? I bought you a new mattress and you slept on the floor. Why did you sleep on the floor? The Mashgiach says, it wasn't a new mattress. He says, I have the receipt. It's brand new. He says, I'm telling you, it was a genutzte mattress. It was used. fellow waited till after Shabbos, and he ran to the store, and he made a ruckus over there. He said, "No, we sold you a new mattress." And he didn't relent. It was a used mattress, and it turns out, the story was that during siesta in Mexico, close down for 2 hours, 3 hours in the afternoon, everybody go home for a siesta. And there was one worker that lived far away, so he used to go to the stock room, and he'd put down a mattress on the floor, and he'd sleep on the mattress. So it still had its cover, it still was all fresh, and it looked new, but somebody slept on it. If you want to know, if you're going to go over a derech, over ba'ish, if you're sensitive enough, you're going to feel it. A yid is totally different. I remember I was a bacher. I must have been 15, 16. And Rav Sholem Shvadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim, came to speak in the Telzi Yeshiva. Now, this was before global warming. And it was a cold, cold night. Very cold. And Rav Sholem Shvadron came to speak. And everybody came. The Ezra Snoshim was filled with all the Rosh Yeshiva's Rebbetzins. And after Davin Meirev, after the Shavuos, so everybody gathered around Rav Sholem, and they were walking him out to his accommodations where he was staying. The Rosh Yeshivas were on his side. And I, as a bacher, wasn't so big. I was right behind Rav Sholem Shvadron. And I was listening to hear the Sichas Chulin of Gedalim. And Rav Sholem is talking, and he had this belly laugh. When he knew how to say over a maisa. And suddenly, in the middle of everything, he put his head down, and he's murmuring something inaudible. And I stuck my ear, mamish, to his mouth, and I heard him saying, "Leisasuru achre levavchem veachre enechem." Leisasuru, he has it over. "Leisasuru achre levavchem veachre enechem." And I was wondering what, and then I saw the Rebbetzins came down. Now let me tell you something. This was a cold winter, and they're wearing these big, heavy down coats, and they all looked like refrigerator boxes. And they were across the street over there, waiting for their husbands to come. And he noticed in the corner of his eyes the ladies, the Rebbetzins. They were older, and they're wearing these big coats and these hats. And suddenly, it made such an indelible mark on me. My entire life, I chazed that over. That's because a yid is so, so delicate and so sensitive. It's the end of Shavuot. I'd like to discuss two nekudas, which most of what I say to my own nusach, but are things that I would makabel from my rebbeim. We all have a desire to be kaddish, to be holy, to be erlich, to be frum, to do what's right, to watch ourselves, our shmiras einayim, everything. And we're working on it. And then suddenly we're working on it, and we're working on it, and we're having success. And then suddenly something happens, and we blow the whole thing. It's like, it came in a sayin, and it looks like everything I did went out the window. So I want to tell you first like this. There's a beautiful shmooze from Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says like this. He wants to teach us the methods of the Yetzer Hara. Rus and Orpah, after their husbands died, Machlon and Kilyon, and Naomi was going back, returning to Beis Lechem, and they decided to follow. We know they wanted to become the Yairis, they wanted to become Tachas Kanfei Ashkina, and Rus and Naomi pushed them away like the Halacha says. And Rus was Dafkaba, she stayed. And Orpah, and hence that's her name, Orpah, she turned her back and she went back. And the Gemara tells us she was Shove El Ameha, Veshove El Eloyeha. In that same day, that evening, she already went back to her Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us how many Averis and how much Znus she did at that night. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, how is it possible? She was mamish over there at the threshold of becoming a yid. And it was only through the Herculean efforts of Orpah, of Naomi, that she pushed her away. You would think that she remained, at least for the Chasidei Umas HaOlam. Right back. El Eloheho, El Ameho. Totally. The Igra Rama from a high, high place, suddenly, Labira Mikta. How did it happen? How does it happen so quick? You could be doing great, and then you drop. How does it happen? See, he says the Yetzer Hara has a gevaldige koyach. It's in one word, he tells us. Loser. Loser. You're a loser. The Yetzer Hara comes to Orpah and she says, look at you. Look at Rus. She persevered. She made it. She went all 9 yards. She did it. And you blew it. You couldn't do it. That's the Yetzer of the Yetzer Hara. He convinces you that you lost. You blew it. You're worthless. And once you're worthless, the Yetzer Hara has you exactly where he wants. And he can make you do everything and anything. Because you get depressed. You get down. I can't make it. I'm not a mutzlach. And therefore, no matter what I do, I'm never going to make it. So I might as well just throw the towel in and give it up. That's the Yetzer of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tries to get us. Let's think for a moment. Rabbi, I speak about myself, I don't speak about others. You're in the middle of learning a piece of Gemara. Mamish, the words, Abaya and Rava, the Tanoyin, the Amaroyin, and suddenly, you get a machshava ra, comes into your head, something terrible. And you think about, if my Chavrusa would know what I'm thinking about, he'd never want to look at me, he'd never want to learn with me, my Rebbe. But what's pshat? You're in the middle of learning. Abaya and Rava, how does this happen? How does it happen with such kedusha? So, Rab Elia Lapian said a moiridika moiridikazach. And it's something we should appreciate. He says, you know, the mind can't think about two things at one time. Rab Chaim Oizer was like a malach elikim. He was able, a malach can't do two shlichus either, but he was able, greater than a malach, he was able to think about many things at one time. He was able to speak on the phone, write a tshuva, and entertain somebody in front of him. He was unbelievable. But a regular person can't think about two machshavas at one time. The mind is quicker than the quickest computer. It could go from one machshava to another machshava. But two things at one time, a person can't think. Now, you're sitting and learning. And, you know, we all get a moment where our mind wanders. Now, in the olden days, when Hashem wanted to tell you that you weren't learning, he would send the malach, a shliach. Yehoshua, he went with all of Klal Yisrael to fight for Kibush HaOretz. And a malach comes to him with a sword, a double-edged sword, and he comes to him, Atavasi. Yeshua asks him, what's going on? What are you here? Are you for us? Are you the enemies? And he says, Atavasi, I came on the Divrei Torah. You're not learning enough. They're waging a war. But at night, you're not learning. He came to Mon on Bittul Torah. Atav is a lashon of Torah, Atav kisvu lechem es hashira hazois. And so it says, Vayolin Yeshua Be'emek. And that night, everybody came and they had an Iyun Shir and they learned and they were matzliach. What happened? Hashem sent the Malach to Yeshua that Klal Yisrael is not learning. We don't see Malachim. At least not physically, we don't see it. Now how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us a message that you're not learning? So he has to jolt you. He has to give you something that's going to shock you back into learning. So now you're sitting and learning, and your mind starts to wander a little bit. So Hashem has to send you a message. So Rabbi Elia Lapian says, he sends you something that's going to make you in shock. It's going to frighten you, like that malach that came with a double-edged sword. So he sends you a terrible machshava. Terrible machshava. Because, wow, boy, it's in the middle of Abaya. Why am I thinking this machshava? Oh, must be that I stopped learning for a minute. Because if I was learning, I couldn't have another machshava. Because my mind can't be soivel two machshavas. So that's to wake you up. So sometimes we look at something, and we look at it, the Yetzer Hara wants us to look at it the way Orpah looked at something. And say, you know what? How? Who am I? I'm such a terrible person. I'm in the middle of learning a Gemara, and I'm thinking about terrible things. No, the opposite. Hashem sent you a malach. He sent you a shliach. He sent you a message. Hey, you stopped learning for a second. If you would have been thinking about what you're eating for lunch or supper, where you're going in the afternoon, it wouldn't have jolted you. But this machshava jolts you. And that's a siman, an indication. Go back to the Gemara. Just change your thought. Go back to Abaye and Rava. Sometimes we interpret messages in a very negative manner. And that's what the Yetzer Hara does. He wants us. He wants us to be, he wants to break us. I want to share with you two more nekudas. We're working on Amida. We're working on Kedusha. We're working on Shmira Zainayim, whatever it may be. And we're working, and you know what? We're having success. A day goes by, a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and then we're confronted with a Nisayan like a mountain. We don't know what to do with ourselves. Such a big Nisayan. So the first Machshav, and we're Nichshol. Or we're about to, we're getting to get depressed. The Nesiv HaSholem says a Mayridika thing. Nesiv HaSholem is a Slonimer. He says a Mayridika Zach. It's a Rav and Yuma. He says like this. But we interpret that, hey, Hashem doesn't want my tshuva. He doesn't want it. Baharaya, I worked, and that's it. And now such a big Nisayan after I was so successful? Must be. I'll never make it. I'm going to give up. It's just the opposite. You know, two guys are fighting. They're wrestling. One guy's on top, and the other guy's on top. And finally, one guy pins the other fellow down, and it's going to be over. He's going to lose. And this fellow knows it's either now or never. And suddenly, from deep within him, he gets an energy, and he gives a thrust, and he can throw the guy over, and the whole fight can change. The Yetzer Hara, when he knows he's going to lose, when a person is desperate, he knows he's going to lose, then you come up with unusual kaiches. So think about it. When you're doing something and you're being matzliach week after week after week, and you're making progress and you're feeling good about yourself, and then suddenly it comes in a soyin, the lights that you've never experienced in your life. So instead of being meyuyish, which is the yetzer of the yetzer hara, you know what? I'm so successful that the yetzer hara is about to lose. So he's doing his last fling, his last effort. If I can overcome this, then I'm free from the yetzer hara. I'm not going to have to worry about it. Instead, we see such a powerful force in front of us, and we misinterpret it. That's the koyach of the yetzer. And because we misinterpret it, we can throw away all our progress that we made. Let me tell you a Moiridika Maisa that I heard this from Amatasio Solomon. He gave a private vag once to some Menalim, and he spoke about this Nakudi. He says like this: a fellow is taking a vacation. He's going on a vacation, a Gavaldika vacation. He's going to the Bahamas. The beautiful sun, the pristine water. The beaches, he's going to live it up. And now look at it. He's going to have a nice vacation. He gets to the Bahamas, and Lamaisa, it's not the place where a yid should be. And turns out that the Yetzer Hara got the better of him, and he was nichshal in a terrible, terrible avera. The man felt so terrible. First thing he did, came back to his hotel room. He called up the travel agent. I'm going home. I can't. I came for a vacation. He's an Erlich Hayid. He wanted to have a good time. But to be over such a terrible Avera, he's leaving. He gets back. Gets back to his home. And he's working on himself. He has to do tshuva. And he davens. And maybe even fasts a little bit on Monday and Thursdays. And he's saying Tehillim. And he's reading Svarim about Shmira Seinayim and about Kedusha and Tahara. And he decides, you know what? It bothers him so much. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And I'm going to go to the Kaisel. And I'm going to pour my heart out to the Kohen, and then I'm going to go to Kever Rochel, and I'm going to go to Shiva Yochoy, I'm going to go to all the Mekaymas HaKadoshim, and I'm going to cry my heart out that they should interject that HaKadosh Baruch Shem Mekabel Yisroel. Gevaldik. He gets on the plane, doesn't turn on the screen at all. This is a Tehillim in his hand, Mesilas Yesharim, Rabbeinu Yoina, and in the middle he hears a commotion. They're up over the ocean, and there's a commotion. And then he hears somebody on the microphone, "We've just hijacked your plane. The plane is no longer going to Israel. We're diverting it to the Bahamas. And over there, they're going to meet our requests, and then we'll free everybody, but as long as you behave and you don't cause any trouble." He thinks to himself, "What's going on over here? I'm on my way to the Mekemes HaKadoshim. I'm on my way to the Kaisel. I'm on my way to Mama Rachel. I'm there. I want to cry. I want to go to the Gedolim and get brachas. And where does the plane get hijacked to? It gets hijacked to the Bahamas. The place that I swore I'm never going to step foot again in my life. That's the place that I was nichshal. And he's so bothered by it that he said, must be Hashem is not mekabel my tshuva. He doesn't want my tshuva. You know, sometimes a person can do a chet gadol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to allow you to do tshuva. And he gets to the airport, and what happens? They free all those with an American passport. And he comes out into the lobby of the airport, and who do you think he sees over there? He meets the person that he did the Aveira with. That's it. God doesn't love me. He hates me. It's over. He throws it in and gives it all up. Says Rabbi Elgin Lapian, I want to read you a Rambam. Ezohi tshuva gemura. What is perfect tshuva? What is a complete tshuva? Zeh shebo liyodai dover she'overboy. If it comes to your hand, the thing that you transgressed. The efshe biyodei lasais, and you have the choice to do it. Upirish, and you separated v'loy asa, v'mnei atshuva, because of tshuva. And it goes on, not because of yira, but because you wanted to do tshuva. Keitzad, hareisha baalish alisha ba'avera, u'la'achas manis yachadima, v'u'aymet ba'avosei, u'bekayakuve. Everything is the same. It has to be the exact, the epitome of tshuva. Now don't get me wrong. Tshuva doesn't have to be. Every tshuva, even the smallest bit of tshuva, is a tremendous thing. But what is tshuva gemura? Tshuva gemura is that all the circumstances are the same. This man came home. He was mekabel, never go to the Bahamas. He started being nizer. He didn't listen to the radio, didn't listen to music. He was learning and everything he was doing. And now he's on his way there to Hashem. Said, I love you. I'm mekabel your tshuva. I want you to have a tshuva gemura. But you know what? I got to get you to the Bahamas. I have to get you with that same person so you can be able to refrain and have that tshuva gemura. How am I getting you to the Bahamas? You're not going. I can make the greatest deal, free flight, and you're not going. The only way I can do it is hijack a plane and send you to the Bahamas and bring that person into the lobby and that you should be able to meet that person. And you know what? You misinterpreted it. You interpret it that Hashem doesn't want you. On the contrary, Hashem loves you. Hashem wants you to be oimed in this society. He wants you to get over that hump and be finished. So many times in the life of a bacher, we work on ourselves, we work so hard, and we think we're making progress, and then it comes a wall in front of us, a brick wall. It's so difficult. And we can interpret it like Orpah interpreted it. You're a loser. God doesn't want you. You can't make it. It's nothing. Forget it. Give it up. Don't even try. And it's on the contrary. Hashem loves you. This is the last fling of the Yetzer Hara. You accomplish this. You finish. Hashem wants you to have that perfect tshuva that He's bringing you, that nesoyin, that when you overcome it, it's finished. Hashem was mechaper you. You're able to go higher and higher. Be'ezus Hashem. We should all never succumb to that eights of the Yetzer Hara and make us become miyuyish. And even if we take a fall, we know we can get up again and start over again and do, because every drop of tshuva is gevaldik. But you should know, the bigger the nisoyin afterwards, it means the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu valued your tshuva.